We have worshiped you in song, God. We open up our hearts to receive from your word. We'd ask that you would use it, Lord, to cut away, Lord, to correct, to exhort, God, to encourage. Lord, we'd ask that you would visit us here tonight in your word, God, as we dive into it. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. It's good to be back with you guys. It's been a few weeks since I've been here. I'm definitely very excited to be back. Had a great trip. Got to go out to California and celebrate. Man, I think it was, you remember, was it the 14th annual? 16th annual. 16th annual pig roast. And so U-Turn for Christ has actually been around 16 years now. U-Turn for Christ Tennessee has been around 10 of those years. And just a good time, man, out there, really getting with the body of Christ. So many friends and so many people that that I've just got to know over the years and stuff, especially going through the ministry there in Paris myself and getting sent out here. Just a great, great time going down to Mexico. And Mexico just gets better every year. Pretty much all the folks that come and come from all over the different states, you know, South Carolina and, you know, and Northern California. And we had one of the guys from Philippines over there. He was in the School of Ministry. And, you know, you got Oregon represented there. And Africa didn't make it, but his dad was there. Duncan, Pastor Duncan's father was there. Just a great time of really getting together with a group of men that, you know, just have a heart for the Lord and just want to be well-pleasing to him. And we just kind of get before him. We don't see each other throughout the year very much. And so it's just a good time to get together with that. And then also there's a blessing for me because my daughter and my family lives out in California. So I get an opportunity, you know, to spend time with my daughter and her husband and my family also. I got sister out there and a bunch of nieces. So just a really good time. And obviously had a pretty good trip on the way out, getting to ride my bike and did something different this time. I stayed out of the sun, so I didn't come back as a lobster this time. Usually I come back and I'm so dark you can't even recognize who I am, or I'm so sunburnt. But I stayed out of the sun this time, so kind of just really cool to be out there. Went out there with my friend Rick, and that was a good time. Rick had some motorcycle problems in Texas, so we were at the border of New Mexico taking a picture, and all of a sudden he looked down and noticed he was missing a couple spokes. So all of a sudden we decided, wow, what do we do? I mean, we're in trouble here. This is not a good problem to have. And so he had to drive back to the last town we were in just to get close enough to where AAA would come and pick him up, or a tow truck, I guess his towing service. So we had to turn around and go all the way back to Amarillo, Texas, man, and we had to take a different trip and all that kind of stuff. So it kind of got cut short, which was the Lord's will. Anyways, just thought I'd share that with you and stuff. But good times, man. You know, good times. It's good to get together with the body of Christ. I hope that, you know, some of you guys might, you know, find it in your heart to be able to come back for next year's pig roast here in Tennessee, not out in California, obviously. But come back and celebrate. You know, it's good to it's an alumni pig roast, so it's really about you guys. That's what it's about. It's about getting together. And I don't know about you, but, you know, one of the people that I brought out to California this year was actually my friend that I was in first phase with. You guys know him. His name's Rob. He's out in St. Louis. You know, we were in first phase together. So, you know, it's amazing that you don't know this, but you might not. You might go out of here. You might never, ever, you know, come back again. You might never remember the person sitting next to you. But me, I remembered the people I was in first phase with, because there was a handful of guys that were serious about the Lord. And those guys, man, are my friends to this day. And, you know, it's just such a blessing to be able to really, you know, to have some of those friends come out. I had Elisha and Jane come out, sweet, good times. But we also brought Nate out from up in Virginia. And Nate came through this ministry here in Tennessee, and he got, you know, he actually relocated his family out here, and then he moved up to Virginia, and he's planning on starting another U-turn right now. So it was an awesome thing that, you know what, we laid hands on him, and it's not just Nathaniel now, it's Pastor Nathaniel. So he has been ordained and for the work that lies before him, and I ask you to keep that in prayer, which will be U-Turn for Christ Shenandoah Valley. It's going to be up in Harrisonburg and that area and stuff, and so it's like 4.5 hours, correct? Is that right? About 4.5 hours north of here, And so I think it's pretty cool because we got 4.5 hours the other direction. We got South Carolina, so it's really kind of neat. And then you got about another 4.5 hours, and you have New Jersey Ranch. So it seems like, you know, really the ranch is being started throughout the East Coast. Really, I can only imagine them heading down. I know Florida is one of the ranches that's been on the board for a while. Obviously, you don't know what's going on with it, but really just kind of the Eastern Seaboard. We're all fellowship on the East Coast, me and Pastor Steve, and now me and Nathaniel, me and Pastor Kevin and Pastor Jason up north, kind of do the East Coast thing. So it's really good. We got a good, strong thing going on here with men and women being able to come in and being, you know, radically changed by God's word. And that's what we do. You know, we don't have any gimmicks and stuff, right? It's rugged. You know that. Youth Term of Christ is rugged ministry. It'll make you or break you, man. And I'll tell you what, I'm so glad that God broke me by coming through this ministry, and that he continues to break me. And I'm so grateful for a place, as Nate would say, where the ground is actually soft, where the landing is soft. You know, out there in the world, it can be brutal. So if you're going to mess up and you're going to blow it, this is a place to do it and get that stuff worked out of you so you can go out and you can be a man or a woman of God, and you can go back to your, maybe where you're from. If God's calling you to do that, maybe he's not. Maybe he's calling you, and you need to hear from the Lord. Maybe he's calling you to pack up and move to Tennessee. Maybe he's calling you not to go back where you're from, but to go somewhere else. I don't know. I know God pulled me out of Oceanside, California. And he did, though, because he loved me. And he did that because he had a plan for my life. And my plan was to be here in Tennessee, and I know that. And I didn't know that in the beginning. I just took steps of faith, and here I sit. So I'm just sharing that with you guys because you really need to take that into consideration. What is the Lord calling you to do in your life? Because the fact of the matter is, the most important thing in your life is where you are with the Lord. Where are you? Do you have the kind of ear for the Lord where you're saying, God, I want what you want. I don't want what I want no more, because what I wanted has got me in all the trouble that I'm in. So therefore, I'm broken of that kind of mentality now. And now, God, I realize I'm being bought with a price. I'm your child. And guess what? I owe you my very life. I am a living sacrifice. So here, God, have me, have all of me, and please remove anything that's not of you from my life. Amen? Let's turn to Mark chapter 7 as we have been working our way through the book of Mark. We've made it up to chapter number 7, Mark 7. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. Verse 3, for the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the traditions of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Verse number 5 says, then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk after according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? So here we see a delegation of religious leaders come from Jerusalem, which is about 100 miles, to check out Jesus. They've heard a lot about Jesus, and they're wondering, hey, what's going on with this guy? We see him getting more and more popular. But you know, they didn't come with the right heart. See, Jesus was popular because he healed people, because he spoke truth to people, because he had an authority to him that was much different than any other rabbi of the day. And so what they did is they were coming to criticize. They weren't coming because they had made or were wanting to make Jesus their Messiah. They were coming with a critical heart so that they might find fault with him and that they might discredit his ministry. And you know what? Back in Mark 3:22, we see that there had been another delegation of religious leaders that had been actually sent to Jesus, and they came and were checking him out and trying to find out what's up with this rabbi from Nazareth. Who is this Jesus and what's going on? Because he's getting very popular, and we want to know why. Why is he so popular, and what's going on with him? So in that first delegation, we find that they had made up their mind and they were trying to condemn Jesus now at this point. They wanted to pin something on him so that they could discredit his ministry. See, they had to look real hard to find fault with Jesus, because we find out that the thing that they caught him doing wrong was something to do with the ceremonial cleansing, something to do about this kind of washing. And so, you know what, is that they had this religious ritual that they held to, which was the washing, but it wasn't for personal hygiene at all. The religious leaders actually had something that they had compiled, and it was called the Mishnah. And it had been compiled of oral teachings and tradition of the elders. And so here, the Jewish Mishnah, it contained a whole 30 chapters on the cleansing of vessels. And so they had all these rules, and they had this whole section about washing before you would eat. And so we see where the original commandment comes from in God's word. It came from Exodus 30, 19, and you can read that later if you want. It goes on to chapter 40 and verse number 12. But there was an original commandment given to the priest from the book of Moses. And so it was this practice for the priest to wash their hands before they were called to do service duties for the Lord. So in other words, is to approach God with clean hands represented approaching God with a clean heart. And we are called to ourselves to go ahead and come to the Lord with clean hearts. We sing the song, give us clean hands, right? Give us pure hearts, right? That's the psalm that's taken from, is that, you know what, when we approach God, we need to be those that are approaching God the way that he wants to be approached. And that we're to have clean hands. We got an echo up here, just so you know. A huge echo. Anyways, I don't know if we got the reverb on. But anyways, the priests were, what they would do is they would actually pour water on their hands, and they would hold their fingers upward so that the water would run down to the wrist. And then the water must drop off the wrist. Otherwise, if it got back on the hands, then what would happen? They'd have to start this whole ritual over. So they would wash their hands with putting water, because their hands had been dirty or defiled, right? They might have touched something that was unclean, or they thought was unclean, you know. They would go ahead and be very careful about washing their hands and making sure that the water would drip off in such a way that, guess what, that the defiled water or that would fall off. But if it got back on the hand, then, oh no, we need to start this whole practice once again. So it would run down the fingers all the way up to the wrist. And you know what? If it tended to get back on the hand, they would start this whole ritual over again, this cleansing of the hand. And so you know what? It was if a person was a real strict Jew and they wanted to follow the Mishnah, they wanted to follow these traditions, that they would do this a few times throughout the time of eating a meal. They wouldn't just do it before a meal. Could you imagine? I mean, I bet, you know, these guys never gained any weight, because, I mean, how many times would you wash your hands, you know, during a meal? I don't know about you, but when I'm eating, man, you know, it's like I'm not, my hands get washed before I eat, you know, and I want to, and then it's time, let's dig in, right? But not these guys. They were so interested in their hands being totally clean and undefiled. And so here we see that these religious leaders had a problem with Jesus. They had a problem with him because his disciples did not wash their hands in such a way. And they were watching, looking for a way that they might criticize the ministry of Jesus. So what they do is that they realize that the disciples are not following these religious rituals that we have in our Mishnah. But look how Jesus responds as we go on in this text. Verse number 6. And Jesus said, he answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Verse number 7. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Verse number 8, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do. Right here, what Jesus is saying, that the problem is the heart. The problem is something that's on the inside. I mean, right here, look what he says. He says, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? That's like a slap in the face. Jesus was radical the way that he approached these religious leaders. He says, guess what? You guys, man, like to look real good on the outside. But one thing he could do, he could look at the inside. And tonight, God can take a look at the inside of your heart and my heart. And he knows if we're real. He knows what we're made of. And God wants to show us our heart. He already knows our heart. But the Lord wants us to, so that we don't fall into hypocrisy either. You know, trying to do things in such a way that, guess what? Everything looks real good on the outside, but inside, we're in trouble. Inside, our heart is far from the Lord. And so that's what Jesus is pointing out to these Pharisees and religious leaders. He's saying, hey, guess what? You know what? You are just doing lip service. Your heart is far from the Lord. You look real good on the outside, and you know what? But something's wrong on the inside. And isn't that the way that we are a lot of the times? That we can come in here and we can sing songs, and we can even raise our hands up, and we can look real spiritual. But guess what? Inside, there's something wrong. We can say, God, you're so good. God, you're awesome. I love you, Lord. But then we go out and we hate our brother, or we hold a grudge against him. We've got things in our heart which are wicked, and these things shouldn't be. And God knows that. God knows that. Guess what? That, you know what? That our heart is not right when it ain't right. See, a lot of times we don't even realize our own self when our own heart ain't right. We're blinded to it. And the Lord has to reveal that to you. And that's what God wants to get across tonight, is that guess what? That we got to make sure that we're not just doing lip service, because God sees right through it. We got to be careful that we're not singing, you know, Lord, I lift your name on high, and then walking out of here and doing things in the dark that don't proclaim that he is on the throne of our lives. You see, what we do and how we live says if we really believe in the Lord. If we really love the Lord, then it will be played out in the way that we serve the Lord and in how we also serve others. So very important. But sometimes, man, guess what, man? We got our little grudges, and man, we got hatred all brewing up in our hearts against our brothers and sisters. And man, something's wrong. And that's something God wants to deal with here tonight. See, we can say all the right things we want, but is our heart far from the Lord? It's easy to say things. It's easy to go ahead and put up a front. It's simple to do that. We all understand it. We know it, because guess what? It's something that we all can relate to. And I don't want to be like a Pharisee. I don't want to be like one of these men who think they're okay. They got everything down, the way that they wash, the way that they carry themselves. They look real good. But the heart, something's wrong. You see, they're going through all the motions. They're doing all this stuff, but there's not an inward change. There's not a submissive heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so he's putting them right here and telling them what the problem is. He's letting them know. He goes, you know what? You guys put tradition over truth. That's what you do. You've got this stuff down. You got it all written down, and you do it all carefully, but you're putting tradition over truth. And tradition has to do with ritual. Ritual. Tradition is something that we do for an outward display. We do it, man, because guess what? It's how it's always been done. That's tradition. Now, there's nothing wrong with tradition. The Pharisees had these spoken traditions and these teachings, but they placed them over the Word of God. And it's always a problem when we take tradition and we take rituals and we place them over the Word of God. Let's go on here and see what Jesus has to say. Mark 7 and verse number 9. He said to them, "All too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death." Ouch. Be a lot of people getting killed in this day and age, wouldn't there? If we were living under the old covenant. "But you say, if a man says to his father and mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban,' that is a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father and his mother. 13, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down. And many such things you do." The Pharisees here had a tradition that anything declared Corban or dedicated belonged to God. In other words, is you could take part of your check and you could go ahead and take it and declare it to be Corban. Or, "This is dedicated to God. I'm a religious man and I dedicate this money to God." And in the same way, they were doing this in a way to where they wouldn't have to support their parents, because the law said that we're to take care of our elder parents and stuff. We don't see that a whole lot in this day and age, do we? We try to find a place to put them. Can we find maybe one of them nice nursing homes to put them? Well, guess what? That's not the way. They didn't have nursing homes back in these days. It was up to the man and the woman of God to take care of their parents. Their parents had taken care of them when they were young, right? And now it's time to honor our mother and father. And so this practice was a way to get them out of taking care of their aged parents. And Christ knew it. Jesus knew what they were doing. They had a loophole and Jesus was calling them on it. Isn't that the way we are sometimes? We try to find the loophole. You know, just how can I get out of doing right? That's a lot of times, that's kind of the heart that we have. I know it has been in my own life. I used to see, how can I, you know, get around this here? There's not no way of getting around it. That's the wrong heart. A heart should be, as God, what are you saying? And what are you requiring of me? God, what do you want me to do? Lord, this is your life. You've given me life. You've given me breath. The reason I'm here is because of you. So God, now, what would you have me do? And how would you have me carry myself as a father, as a son, as a husband, as an employee? How would you have me carry myself, God? And you know what? We can find all these things in the Word of God. God is so clear to let us know how we're to go ahead and serve Him and how we are to serve others. You see, whenever tradition overrides God's Word and it takes the place of truth, we make the Word of God of no effect. When we take traditions that we have come up with or they have come up with and we place them over God's word, we do great damage. We lessen the power of the word of God, and therefore we lessen God's word in our very lives. And God doesn't want that. God wants His word to be alive and powerful, that it might provide change in your life and in my life, that we might be men and women that are wanting to submit to the word of God. We want to submit to our Lord. We want to submit to Jesus because He loves us so much. We have a kind of relationship with Jesus where you want to be well-pleasing to Him. Not trying to put on a show to where we got it all together and we do these little religious rituals and we got all this stuff and these traditions. No, it's about relationship. Relationship is beautiful because in relationship there's interaction. And God wants to interact with you and I. God wants to have that place, you know what, where we can say, "Daddy, what am I to do? I can trust you. You've never let me down. Can I look and can I see what you'd have for me in my life this morning in the book of Proverbs? Would you speak to me before I go to bed tonight when I crack open God's word and I'm in the book of James? Can you speak to me, God? Because I'm coming to you because I need help and I know that you've got the wisdom." Coming to Him, depending upon Him, trusting in Him. It's not easy to trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's easy to say it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. But then all of a sudden, when things get hard and things get challenging, then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, this is tough, this is hard. It is. That's when the real thing comes out. When it's tested. And we're going to be tested. We'll be tested by fire. Because God wants to get rid of the impurities in your life and my life. He knows exactly what we need and when we need it. Are we willing to make it through those hard times? Are we willing to make those hard decisions and receive the blessing of it? Or are we going to keep doing things the same way? It becomes like tradition. It's what it does. And we got to be sure that we don't put tradition on the same level as the Bible. We got to look at what's scriptural and what's tradition in our lives. We got to look at what is actually man-made and what's God-breathed. Tradition can be helpful, but it surely isn't helpful if it's not used in a correct manner. God would have us take a look at this and realize that tradition must always be subordinate to the Word of God. Why? Because Scripture is God-breathed. Scripture is inspired by God. Tradition is man-made. And so therefore, man is under the authority of God in anything that he comes up with. Scripture is from God. Tradition is from man, and it must be flexible. We got to be flexible in it. Whenever we put tradition above God's word, we'll see that there are huge, huge mistakes that are going to happen. So let's check out all of our traditions and check them out in the light of God's holy word. Let's go on here tonight. Mark 7:14 we're in. When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand." Verse 15. "There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man." 16. "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 17. "When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, 'Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods.'" Verse 20. "And he said, 'What comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness.'" Verse 23. "All these evil things come from within and defile a man." This is not to say that anything we take in doesn't defile us. It's not what he's speaking here. Because we already know what drugs do when we take them in. We already know what pornography does when we intake it into our system. It defiles us. Okay? But in this context, Jesus is talking about the ceremonial washing, and he's talking in regard to food, anticipating when all food will be declared kosher. And you find that in the book of Acts. You remember Peter and his vision, right? He was on the roof. All of a sudden, he had this blanket that was raised down from heaven. God had to show him in a vision. He said, "Peter, take, eat. All these creeping things," he said, "I've never eaten that kind of food ever, Lord. I've never defiled myself with those kind of foods." Verse number 15 says, "A voice spoke again the second time, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.'" You see, God is not interested in foods. He's interested in your heart. That's what he's interested in. Jesus saying, "Wash them with unclean hands, and any such thing we put into us doesn't defile us." That's what he's saying. It's not so important what you do on the outside as what's on the inside. Now, I'm not saying that it's probably a good thing to go down and grab a Big Mac or something from McDonald's or eat some of the foods out. I'm not saying that it's not bad for you. But what Jesus is saying, it doesn't defile you. As a matter of fact, you know that's one of the reasons why we pray before we eat? Because we're asking God, we're saying thank you for the food, and we're asking him to sanctify it. That's it. It's good. You can go ahead and eat pork if you want to. You don't have to eat pork. But don't try to bring some kind of trip on somebody if he's a meat eater. There's nothing wrong with that. All food is good. Doesn't defile you. Now, it can do you harm. There's no doubt about it. We know that food intaked into us can cause all kinds of medical problems. But Jesus is making it clear. He was saying that defilement comes from the inside, not from the outside. Defilement comes from our heart, people. God is more concerned with what comes out of us than what goes into us. The things God interested, well, we already seen it in the scripture. We just read it. Let's check it out again. Mark 7:21-23. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders and thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And he says right here in verse 23, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. See, God is interested in your heart tonight. That's what God is interested in. And Jesus was making this very clear for us tonight so that he would go ahead and be able to examine us. And that's what we need to ask the Lord. We need to ask God, examine me, God. Is what I'm doing, is it bringing you glory? Is what I'm thinking bringing you praise? And what am I speaking out? Does it edify? Does it build up? These are the things, what we're looking at, what we're listening to, what we're speaking. These are the things that defile us. And God wants us to be a holy people. God wants us to be a people that are very careful about the way that we live in this world, because this world will pollute you. This world will go ahead and rot you from within. It doesn't happen from the outside, what you're eating, taking in. Watch it, what you're looking at. What's your thought life? Where's your heart at? That tells you where you're at with the Lord here tonight. So you know what? I'm going to have the prayer team come forward. If I get a couple guys to please come over here to my left, and if I get the gals to go out in, I think the foyer is where we do the prayer for the women. As we take a look at this set of scriptures here tonight, you know what? There's probably not a person in here that has got, you know, an angle on all this stuff here. I know I don't, so... I mean, I know I need prayer. So we can do something here tonight. We can get serious about this. You know what we need to do? We need to get serious with the Lord. We need to say, God, you know what? My heart's not always right. But God, I love you. And I want your best for my life. And I'm going to humble myself. And I'm going to go ahead. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to come forward. And I'm going to ask for someone to pray for me tonight. It's a sign of humility. See, you're having to come forward for prayer. It's a sign of humility, saying, God, I need your help, man. I can't do this without you. My thought life is messed up. What I speak out is not always right. What I'm doing when nobody's looking is not always correct. And God wants us to do business with him. If that's you, then guess what? Come on forward. Let's pray. You can pray for me, too. The gals, same thing. You know where you stand with the Lord. The sad thing about it is sometimes, man, we're blinded to it. Whenever I'm, man, wound up, man, and stuff that I shouldn't be, it always starts to blind me. It's easy to see it in somebody else, but I can't necessarily check it out so closely in my life. It's a little harder. It takes introspection. And that's what we're asking God to do, amen? Search us, Lord. See if there be any wicked way in us. Lord God, we're giving you the freedom to check us out. Lord, if we can't see clearly, would you clear up our eyes? Lord, we want to walk out of here different than we came in. I do. God, I need your help. Lord, you're so good. You're not a condemning God. You tell us to confess our sins to you, Lord. Why? Because you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And then you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, we can be cleansed here tonight. That's our heart, Lord God. Would you cleanse us? Not this ritualistic cleansing of water of the defiled hands, but of the heart, Lord. Would you cleanse us from deep within, Lord? Your word cleanses us, God. When we come before you and we're willing to be real, God, you cleanse us. Help us that we wouldn't be pharisaical. We wouldn't think our religion, man, is something great and it overrides really where we're at with the word of God. So, Father, here we are. We're asking you, do a work here in these last moments as we're together as a body of U-Turn for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.